How well do you really know yourself? We're going to talk about that on today's program. Stay right where you are. Here we go. Hey there. Welcome to the program. Come on in and make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you can keep me company and join me here on the show. Today, we're going to look at how well do we really know ourselves? As we open up the book, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, that's what we do every Tuesday on the program. We'll also look at the Mass readings for today, which is Tuesday, November the 10th. Oh, man, we're starting off good. Gary's back in action. Today we celebrate the memorial of St. Leo the Great, who was a pope and a doctor of the church. We'll look at the Mass readings and talk a little bit about them. Well, it's great to be back here in New Jersey. Yesterday, as you probably know, I spent the day in Alabama, Birmingham, taping 5 episodes of Women of Grace with Johnette Bankovic. Don't know when the shows will air, but I'll let you know as soon as I hear anything. I would suspect it'll be sometime in 2016. We talked about discerning God's will. How do I know what God wants me to do? And, you know, it's always... It's a great privilege to be able to go down to EWTN, and it's really a pilgrimage for me. I go down there to work, but it's just such a pilgrimage to be down there and to see the great all the great people that are doing such wonderful work, continuing Mother Angelica's mission of evangelization, and it's a great blessing to be able to do that. So it was awesome to talk about that with Johnette. And in addition, I want to let you know something else. I didn't know this at the time, but I had pre-taped an episode of Johnette's radio program the week before I left. Well, that aired yesterday too, believe it or not. So while I was filming the TV shows, the radio program was airing. We did an hour on overcoming worry. So if you'd like to find out about that, if you'd like to maybe listen to the show, the podcast is available, and I put it on Facebook today. So if you're my Facebook friend, you can check it out. Just look for Gary Zimak on Facebook, and you can see a link to the podcast for Women of Grace talking about how to overcome worry. Well, I've got big news for you today. Are you ready? It has to do with the beverage du jour. Why don't we just, without further ado, let's get right into it. Here we go. Do you know what that is? Let me try it again. Yes, Jingle Bell Java is back. Mystic Monk Coffee has re-released once again this year, Jingle Bell Java. And if you like flavored coffee, I think you're going to like this. Check out Jingle Bell Java, Candy Cane, and all of the other great flavors available from Mystic Monk Coffee. The best way to find out about the product is to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on the Mystic Monk image. That will take you to the website of the monks, and they have fantastic coffee. They are good men, they love Our Lady, and they make some great coffee. It makes a great Christmas gift, Mystic Monk Coffee. So check it out today. You can find it at followingthetruth.com. See, you were waiting for that. I knew it. You were waiting for the appearance of Jingle Bell Java. I look forward to that every year. I really do. It's very exciting. Very exciting. But we've got a lot of other good stuff on the program today. I want to mention one additional thing. Tonight, I will be speaking at Our Lady of Port Richmond in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, just over the bridge from where I live in New Jersey. If you happen to hear this program and you want to get over there, make it a point to come on out. We're going to talk about how to overcome worry. You know, that's my favorite topic. Pray, hope, and don't worry is the topic for tonight. I'll have my books available. Admission is free. We'll even have some light refreshments. But that's my kind of a speaking engagement. They're going to have coffee and donuts for me. I think the word is getting around about Gary and his sweet tooth. So, hey, but listen, if it works, it works. That way you keep me happy, too. And the people who come to hear me talk, they're going to, even if they don't like my talk, they get some sweets. So it's really completely a win-win situation there, isn't it? But in all seriousness, I hope you can come out. Our Lady of Port Richmond this evening. Therefore, I'm pre-recording this show so that you have the program. And I recently updated my website, followingthetruth.com, with some additional speaking engagements, both in the local Philadelphia, New Jersey area, Louisiana, and New Mexico, which are all places that I'll be heading to in the next couple of months. So check that out today, followingthetruth.com. I would love to meet you in person. Let's pray. Let's pray, and then we'll get right on with the Mass readings for today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we're very grateful for all of the blessings you continue to give to us each day. Father, so many times we overlook your blessings. We lose sight of the fact that you are incredibly generous to us. First of all, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of the Blessed Mother. We thank you for the gift of our Catholic Church. We thank you for the sacraments. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the people and the circumstances in our lives, even though they can be difficult at times, that will help us to get to heaven. So we thank you, Father, because you know us better than we do. So therefore, you know what we need in order to be able to get to heaven. So thank you so much for that. Father, we ask you to help all those who are sick today, all those who are lonely, all those who are anxious, all those who are struggling with doubt or despair, all those who are dealing with any kind of an addiction, those who are struggling financially, or those who may be dealing with an extreme weather condition or religious persecution. We ask you to help them. Father, I ask you to take this show over for me. Please speak through me today. Use my voice and my lips and my words to proclaim your message. And please open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to hearing your message. We also offer up to you our own personal needs, those intentions that sometimes can distract us, that can sometimes keep our focus off of you. We ask you to take them from us and handle them in the best way possible. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We turn now to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her help as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Leo the Great, Pope and Doctor of the Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, you know, you're probably wondering a little bit about Saint Leo the Great. Let me open up my missal, and I'll just give you a brief synopsis of the life of Saint Leo the Great. During the pontificate of Saint Leo the First, which it was in the 5th century, the Ecumenical Council of Chalcedon defined Jesus Christ as one divine person having two natures, divine and human. Saint Leo had written Epistola Dogmatica to Patriarch Flavian of Constantinople, which was read and assented to by the Council Fathers. So that's all that I have in the missal about Saint Leo the Great, Pope and Doctor of the Church. But obviously he's someone who defended the faith, who presented the truths of the faith. You don't get to be a doctor of the church without having an incredible impact. The doctors of the church are chosen because of the fact that they have been excellent teachers of the faith. So Saint Leo the Great, we ask you to pray for us and help us to be able to understand our role and to always be willing to evangelize and to share the good news. You know that we need help with that. Sometimes it's scary for us, but if we look at some of these great saints, they really understood what it was like to share the good news, even when their very lives were threatened. So they can really help us. All right, let's take a look at the Mass readings. By the way, it is great to be back with you today. Great to be back home. It's going to get busy in the next couple of months, but I'm excited. Advent and Lent are really two big times of the year when it comes to my my ministry. So it's great to be able to take the message on the road and speak to as many people as possible in addition to doing this show. So thank you for tuning in. Oh, by the way, the Advent mission or the Advent retreat still will take place on this program. And I have my calendar here, and I will tell you, it will be Monday, November the 30th. We're going to kick it off. The Advent mission, or the Advent retreat, I keep calling it a mission, but it's the Advent retreat, will begin on this program on Monday, November the 30th. And during that week, I'll be in Louisiana for several days, but I'll record the programs in advance. And the same goes for the next week when I'll be headed out to New Mexico. And I'm looking, there are a couple of other speaking engagements that I'll have, but I'll make sure you have shows. Remember, we're going to use a book with meditations. The book is called Meditations from Advent Through Lent. And you're going to like this book if you've never heard me read from it before. It's a very simple book. It's written in the mid-60s. You're going to like these brief meditations. We'll look at the daily mass readings, all specifically chosen for Advent. The church gave us some great readings that we can use during the Advent season. And also, we will pray the St. Andrew Novena. And I will talk more about the St. Andrew Novena. But all I can say is if you have some pretty serious intentions, if you've got even what I would call impossible intentions. Now, nothing is impossible for God, but we've all got those intentions that just about seem impossible. I want you to lift those up this year. Let's give the Lord a chance to do his thing. I think too many times we hold back, whether it's because of fear, whether it's because we don't really believe that he can perform miracles. So let's put an end to that. This Advent, let's really give the Lord a chance to perform miracles in our lives. He can do it. Let's challenge him because we believe that he can do it. And the more we let him work and perform these miracles in our lives, guess what happens? You bet. Our faith grows because we watch what he can do. This is the reason Jesus performed his miracles, or his signs as they're called in the Gospel of St. John, so that people would come to believe that he is God and that he can do all things. So that's why it's good for us to really challenge him and to let him perform miracles in our lives. All right, so I hope you're going to join me for the Advent retreat. Please let your friends know. The more, the merrier. We got plenty of places here around the table. You grab a cup of coffee, you grab your beverage, and we're going to hang out for 30 minutes each night and talk about Jesus. The first reading from today's Mass is from the Book of Wisdom, back to the Old Testament, Wisdom chapter 2, verses 23, and we go through chapter 3, verse 9. So we span two chapters with this reading. God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who are in his possession experience it. But the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men indeed they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation they shall shine, and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. Now, this first reading for the Book of Wisdom tells us that, and sometimes I don't think this is always that clear, but death wasn't originally in God's plan. But because man sinned, and we all know that man sinned, death entered the world. But because he loves us so much, the Lord, when the time was right, sent his Son to earth to suffer and die for us and rise from the dead, which transforms death into the gateway to eternal life. So even though death is still a scary thing for many of us, death is the entry point into eternal life. We enter into our heavenly reward, God willing, at the end of our life when we die. And therefore, right now, because death is part of the world, because original sin took place, there are many sufferings that you and I have to face. That is a part of this life, but the reward will far outweigh any possible suffering that we will have here below. What we need to do is trust in the Lord that His plan is perfect. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord has eyes for the just and ears for their cry. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them. And from all their distress, He rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and those who are crushed in spirit. He saves. The reminder here for us, and this is critical that we understand this, is that if we cry out to the Lord, He will hear us. We can't say, because it's wrong, we can't say that because God is not answering my prayers fast enough or He's not answering in the way I want, that He doesn't hear. That's not a factual statement. He does hear, and He loves you. And if it was the best thing for you to answer your prayer immediately, you better believe He would do it. But sometimes it's not the best thing for you, and that's why He waits. But trust that the Lord hears every word that you direct His way. He really will. Please continue to turn to Him. And again, this is what I talked about. This is what I talked about with the Advent retreat. If we continue to turn to Him and challenge Him and ask Him to work miracles in our lives, it doesn't mean that we don't believe in Him. If we sometimes say, Lord, where are you? I'm depending on you. I know you can do this. That's an expression of faith. That's not an expression of doubt. So please continue to do that. If you look at the Psalms, you are going to see that time and time again, the Lord comes through. Therefore, since He's always the same, since He doesn't change, what does that mean? That means that He's going to come through for you too. If your prayer doesn't get answered, again, as fast as you like or the way you would like, there's a reason. By faith, we learn to trust in Him. The gospel today is Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Jesus said to the apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and I drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what he commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" Oh boy, now our feelings are going to get hurt, aren't they? Unprofitable servant. You know the way it used to read in some of the older translations. Useless servants. Oh man, how painful is that? Look, the Lord isn't saying we're worthless. We know that. He's not saying that. What the Lord is reminding us of is that we can't start to get self-righteous and think that, well, because I'm doing such a good job, because I'm so holy, then I deserve heaven. I deserve my reward. It doesn't mean you're not going to get the reward. But what happens when you start to have an attitude like that is you lose your humility. You become what? You become proud. And pride is it's one thing that can easily block you from getting into heaven. Pride is bad news. It's bad news. So what we want to do here is recognize the fact that all of our goodness comes about because of the Lord's grace. And that doesn't mean that we're bad. It just means that we're human. And it also reminds us of just how much He loves us. If you want an example of this in action, take a look in the Bible at Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth. And she spoke her famous prayer known as the Magnificat. Elizabeth praised Mary. And what Mary did was take the attention off of herself and pointed to the Lord and said, it's because of Him. Mary knew that she was sinless, but she was humble enough to realize that it was due to the grace given to her by the Lord. So humility is crucial. And it's really something that we could work on during the Advent season. We'll work on that during the Advent retreat. We're going to look in a few minutes at Thomas A. Kempis' advice on knowing yourself. Humility is seeing yourself as God sees you. That's all it is. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking of looking at yourself unrealistically. It's looking at yourself realistically. And if we look at ourselves realistically, we realize that we have some talents. We have some good qualities. But we also have bad qualities. And we also are completely dependent upon the grace of the Lord. That's okay. He wants us to be dependent on Him, but He also wants us to do what we can. The important thing for us to remember is that we don't get a big head and that we don't start thinking that this is all because of us. In other words, I'm such a good person, that's why I don't sin. I don't sin because I work really hard at it. Well, you don't sin because the Lord's giving you a lot of grace. And you cooperate with that grace. Yeah, there's something you have to do. But I think I've done this, and I do this sometimes still. It's a big mistake. We have to be careful that we don't start thinking that I can't commit this sin anymore. I'm past that. I used to do that in my previous life, but I can't do that anymore. You can do it. And the minute you start thinking you can't ever commit this or that sin, that's when you're going to fall on your face. So just be really careful about that and continue to give the Lord the credit for all the good that is taking place in your life. On knowing yourself, according to Thomas A. Kempis. Now listen to this. We cannot count on ourselves much, for often, through lack of grace and understanding, our judgment is a limited one, and we soon lose what we have through our own neglect. Often we are unaware of our own interior blindness. Many times we do evil, and what is far worse, we justify it. Yeah, we do evil and we justify it. We do that. We say, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said those things, but he deserved it. Or, I probably shouldn't have cheated on my taxes, but, you know, the government's always out to get my money, and it was okay. I probably shouldn't have talked behind her back, but you know what? She's always talking behind everybody else's back, so it's okay. You know how we justify our bad behavior? Sometimes our passions rule us, and we mistake it for zeal. We're critical of the small defects in our neighbors, but overlook the serious faults in ourselves. And again, this is that looking at ourselves realistically. If I honestly look at myself, with the help of the Holy Spirit, oftentimes, I'm going to see things that I would rather not see because it's painful. We are quick to complain of what we put up with from others, but with never a thought of what others suffer from us. If we would see ourselves as we really are, we would not find cause to judge others severely. Those who are turned to God consider the care of themselves before all other cares. And looking seriously to themselves, they find it easy to be silent about the deeds of others. You will never be an interior person and a follower of Christ unless you learn not to meddle in the affairs of others and to look to your own. If you are concerned wholly with God and yourself, you will be unconcerned with what goes on around you. Where are you when you are not recollected? And when you have been busy with other people's affairs, what have you to show for it, if you have neglected yourself? If therefore you wish to have peace in your soul, and to be united to God, set aside all else, and focus the eye of your soul on your own deeds. Now this is, let's qualify this a little bit. There are going to be times in life when we need to correct others, when we need to fraternally correct others, because they might be headed down the wrong path. They might be making a serious spiritual mistake, and they could be in trouble. Their salvation can be at stake. Listen, that's when we want to help other people. But we've got to do it. We've got to do it in the right way and in the right time. We want to do it privately. We want to correct people when necessary, because we love them, not because we want to show that we're better than them. Now, what's this business about looking at your own faults? Well, we have a tendency to look at the faults of other people before we look at our own faults. We need to start looking internally, just so that we understand one important fact, and that fact is this. Somebody else can have many faults. They could be committing all kinds of sins, but I don't have control over them. On the other hand, I have control over my own actions. And unless I make sure that I get my own life in order, then I'm going to present an image. If I'm going to try to tell somebody else what to do and my life is a mess, my message is not going to be well received because of the fact that people will view me as a hypocrite. It's important that I take care of my own problems, my own sinful habits. I've got to purge those from my life. It's a lot easier for me to look at other people, and we do this. Let's be honest, we do this, to look at other people and say, you know, I have a big mouth, but John, he's got a really big mouth. He's worse than I am. I'm glad I'm not like him. So what we're doing is, by knocking somebody else down, we're building ourselves up. But realistically, that's just a false perception. We're just making ourselves feel better. I'm just trying to justify the fact that I'm a sinner. That's not good enough. What the Lord calls us to do, and Advent is perfect for this, is to work on the sin in my own life and not focus on the sins in other people's lives. Again, that doesn't mean we're never supposed to help somebody out if they're in trouble. But primarily, I've got to make sure that my life is in order. Back to the book. If you want to advance spiritually, keep yourselves free from temporal anxieties. You will only lose ground if you set any value on material things. Consider nothing great, nothing acceptable to you, unless it be God himself or of God. Whatever comfort you derive from any creature counts as nothing. Those who love God and their own soul for the love of God despise all else, for only the infinite and eternal God can fill our every need and desire, the solace of our soul and the true joy of our heart. So in other words, material things can often get in the way. They're not bad, but they can get in the way of our love for the Lord, because we start to love things, we start to love people more than we love the Lord, and that can sometimes cause conflicts in our lives. Advent, again, is a good time to take a look at it. So this sets up the Advent retreat nicely. We're going to focus on welcoming the Lord more fully into our lives. What a great thing to do this Advent. And you know, as I said on the show before, each Advent, we should do the same thing. We anticipate the coming of the Lord. We have hope that he is going to enter more deeply into our lives, but we've got to open the door, and that's what we'll work on doing, okay? So we are about out of time. God willing, I'm going to be on the show back here tomorrow. I hope you can join me. Tomorrow's Wednesday. So we'll look at the book, My Daily Bread by Father Anthony Paone, as we do each Wednesday. You know, as I've often said, this show wouldn't be the same without you, so I really hope you can join me tomorrow on the program. Until we meet again, may God bless you, and remember, God loves you, And with God, all things are possible. Take care.